come to the table and see in his eyes the love that the Father has spoken. And know you are welcome, whatever your crime, though every commandment you've broken. For he's come to love you and not to condemn, and he offers the pardon of peace. If you'll come to this table, you'll feel in your heart the greatest forgiveness, the greatest release. Come to the table, taste of the glory, savor the sorrow, he's dying tomorrow. The hand that is breaking the bread soon will be broken. Here at the table sit those who have loved him. One is a traitor and one will deny, though he's lived his life for them all, and for all be crucified. Come to the table, he's prepared for you, the bread of forgiveness, the wine of release. Come to the table and sit down beside him. The Savior wants you to join in the feast. Come to the table, he's prepared for you, the bread of forgiveness, wine of release. Come to the table and sit down beside him. The Savior wants you to join in the feast.
Father, we bow in your presence. We know, Lord, that you invite us to come to you. You stand and you knock at the door and you invite us to open that door. And so today, Lord, we come. We come to you. Knowing you're a God who can do amazing things, even stuff we can't comprehend, things we can't understand, Lord, you are a God, and you're Lord of our life and Lord of this church. We proclaim you as King. Lord, as we do that, we come as a family, a body, and we pray for one another. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with health needs, and Lord, you know each and every situation. You know what kind of healing is required. And so we bring these people before you, God. We think of Brian Kent who fell, and Lord, you know the whole situation there, but we lift him to you. For Rose Daschuk and Linda and Jan and George and Inga and Ken and Sam and Jenny and Marilyn and Lori, and Father, you know each and every situation. You know the family members that are walking alongside of them, who, Lord, are trying to encourage them and give them strength, and we pray that you would do that for them. We pray, Lord, that your will be done. And also, God, we know that you're a God who gives. All we have to do is receive. So, Father, we think today also of those who are grieving, and that's the Zelensky family who are just bowed down in sorrow right now. May they receive, Lord, from you comfort and encouragement today. Father, we thank you that we can pray for one another. This is so important. This is why you called us to do this, to pray for one another. Lord, you call us not just to encourage one another, not just to sing together, but to pray for one another. And so we do this today, God. We pray that what we say, what we do, will be pleasing to you. Lord, as we open your word today, speak to our hearts, clear our minds of all the clutter that the world tries to enter in. so that we can hear from you today. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Well, you know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, isn't it wonderful that we don't need to rely on technology? We just need to rely on God. It's on, isn't it? Just see what happens when you do rely on God. How many of you were praying that it would come back on? Could I ask you that? Yeah. You know what I was doing up from there. Yeah. Oh, God is good. Let me try that one more time. God is good. You know, now you're going to see my sermon notes. I don't know. I was saying to the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, maybe you just want us to drink in the songs today and not concentrate so much on what's up there. I was saying, God, maybe you have something else in mind. Maybe you don't want people to see the sermon outline. And he wants you to see it. Oh, well, that's all right. It's great. We're doing a series on trusting God. And last Sunday, you know, I talked about considering the miracles, right? And here's one again. God just proves it every Sunday. And I just think that's great. But we're going to look today at the secret to knowing God. And I think a lot of us here in this room would say that we know God. And we may even have various moments in which we could share God became real to us, deeper for us. Somehow, at some point, he got deeper. But I think we sometimes neglect knowing God better. We get afraid, or we let our mouths get away with us, and we neglect to know God better. We're kind of like stew. No, not the kind you eat. Not the kind you get yourself in. Oh, I got myself in a stew today. I never could figure that expression out. But anyway, you all know the story of stew. He was sitting on his porch, and he was watching the rain fall. How many of you know what rain is? Some of you don't. Share it with your neighbor. No. Pretty soon, the water was coming over the porch and into the house. And Stu, he was still sitting there. And the fire rescue truck came along, and the fireman explained. He said, "You can't stay here. You have to come with us. We're evacuating people from this mass flood that's taking place." And Stu said, "No. I know God. God is going to save me." And so the fire truck left. A little while later, the water was up to the second floor, and so was Stu. And a Coast Guard rescue boat came puttering along. Said to Stu, you better come with us. The flood waters are getting higher. And stubborn Stu explained. He said, "Well, no. I mean, I know God. He'll save me." So the boat left. Stu sat there, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. Water got higher and higher and higher and higher. Wasn't long, but an hour later, water was up on the roof, and so was Stu. Police helicopter maneuvered over Stu's house and dropped their rescue ladder and hollered over the megaphone system, "The time is near. The levees are over. And there is water rushing towards you. This is your last chance for survival. Grab a hold of the ladder, and we'll take you to safety." And Stu, with confidence, yelled back, "God, he'll look after me. I know him, and he'll save me because I know him well." So the helicopter flew off. Stu drowns. And he goes to heaven. And when he sees God, he says to him, he says, "Why didn't you save me? I mean, I thought you and I had a great relationship. I thought you knew me and I knew you and that you'd grant me a miracle, and you've let me down, God." And God replied, "I don't know what you're complaining about. I sent you the firemen, the Coast Guard, and a police helicopter. What more did you want?" See, sometimes we think we know God. Sometimes we think we know what God should do for us, what God should give to us, what God should grant to us. And all the while, God's doing what we've asked him to do. It's just a little different. Well, we're going to talk about the secret to knowing God today. And of course, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26, because you've all seen it on the PowerPoint that is working. Matthew chapter 26. And I want you to look at verse 17 in Matthew 26. On the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" And so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. What I love about this passage is it gives us the secret to knowing God. The secret to knowing God is get alone with God. You got to get alone with God. This is so simple, we often miss it. It's just too easy. We always pray and we ask God, "I just want to know you more." And then we don't spend any time with him. How many of you prayed that? Say, "God, I just want to know you better. God, I just want to know you more." Yeah. It's like saying, "I want to be married to you, Joan, but you live somewhere else." Because we're not going to have a relationship. It's just going to be convenient. When we want to talk, when I want to talk to you, Joan, I'm going to come to your house. When you want to talk to me, Joan, you come to my house. Last week we noted that the disciples' hearts were hardened and they were thinking simply of what they wanted. Jesus did a miracle right with them. In this passage we notice that the disciples, they went to Jesus. And they said to him, they said, where do you want to have the Passover? See, they learned something. We better listen to this man. And this moment in Scripture, they come to Jesus and they say, "All right, Jesus, what do you want us to do? You direct us." And Jesus tells them what to do. And what did they do? They did it. Why would they do this? Because Jesus told them. See, to be alone with Jesus means that you do what he tells you to do. You see, have you ever just wanted just to be alone with Jesus? I mean, I've said this over and over and over again. I've said it. I'm guilty, and you're going to hear it today. If only I had time to read my Bible. If only I had time to pray. If only I had time to do ministry. If only I had time. If only I had time. If only, am I alone? Am I alone here? If I only had time to be alone with God. Being a real Christian, a real believing Christian, and having Jesus of the Lord of your life is going to take a lot more than an hour on Sunday morning. I don't know, this morning's message may not make you shout and holler hallelujah. May even make you kind of squirm a little bit. But these are the kind of things that will get you shouting and hollering later on when your life is all fixed up. You've got real joy and you've got peace, and the devil can no longer steal it from you because you know God so tightly that he's just walking alongside of you, protecting you, and making sure you go in the right direction. Amen? We can be church-going Christians, and yet as far as God goes, we have forsaken him. He wants out of the Sunday morning box that you've put him in. Don't keep him there anymore. This time, this time that we come together, it is so critical. It's so important. This pleases God. But spend time with him outside of this time. I think that's why I always like the Bereans, because they're always held up as people who search the scriptures to see if what was being said, what was being taught was the truth. That has always impressed me, because the Bereans, they took time after the teaching they received to spend time alone with God. How are you at spending time alone with God? If you want to get to know him better, then make time for him. God wants to get into your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday night, your Saturday night, your Sunday afternoon, your Sunday evening. He wants to get into your checkbook. He wants to get involved in how you dress. He wants to get involved in how you choose your friends. He wants to get involved in what you do for entertainment. God wants to get involved in everything you do and everything you think. He wants to get involved in your life. God gave so that we could live eternity with him. What a trying to live with him now. Know him better. See, the only way to do that is to get some alone time with God. Don't just make time for God. Take time for God. Disciples go to Jesus. They say, where do you want to commune? Where do you want to celebrate the Passover? And I want you to picture the next scene with me. Look at this. Verse 20. Evening came. Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Now, isn't that marvelous? Okay, let's all gather together, celebrate the Passover. They're eating. What a marvelous, emotional, intimate time with Jesus. And he says, "By the way, one of you is going to betray me." The picture of the scene. They sit down. It's a special moment, time alone with God. And he drops something on them. A huge bomb. And one of you is going to betray me. What words? I mean, you see, I do think that we fear what God is going to say when we're alone with him. I think that too often we're almost afraid of what God may say to us when we take the time to be with him and really listen to him. And that's why we're afraid to be alone with God. C.S. Lewis said it well when he penned these words. He said, "God is not proud. He will have us even though we have shown that we prefer everything else to him." What are you preferring today over God? We don't like being stretched like these disciples were being stretched. I mean, he said, "One of you is going to betray me." Do you think then they were going, "Oh, okay, well, let's keep eating"? Some of you right now are being stretched just the way they were being stretched. And God is doing a great work in your heart to bring you closer to him, because he's stretching you. I don't know about you, but I don't like being stretched. In fact, I can remember jogging with Joan's father, and we'd start off, "Well, you got to do some stretching exercise." You know, I went once just before we were married. I thought it would be a good shoe-in. And, you know, and then afterwards he's like this. Well, actually, I need to tell you, look at this. Look at this. You just go ahead, Ian. You can show it. You talk about being stretched. Some of you are being stretched. You don't like the way it makes you feel. The fact is, you're never going to really know God, know who He is, without being stretched. Everybody say, I'm stretching. I'm stretching. When I think of stretching, I always think of Elastoman in the comic books, or Elastigirl in The Incredibles. I mean, he could stretch so high that he could touch anything large, big, and mighty right up there. He could stretch way up into the heavens. You see, God stretches us so that we can reach Him. Jesus didn't die so you could have a religion. Jesus died so that you could have a deep, intimate, exciting, personal relationship with the King of Kings. Be alone with God. Come to the upper room this morning and be alone with God and discover the secret of knowing God, and that is get alone with Him to receive from Him. Now, again, come with me to that room in which Jesus had just explained what was holding for the days ahead. He said, I will be betrayed and I'll be forsaken. Not someone out there is going to do this, but by one of you. My very own disciple, one of you is going to betray me. And then he goes on and he explains, he says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and he offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I mean, then they sit and they partake of this moment, the Passover moment, where Jesus does it all differently. He explains something that, wait a minute, this, what's he doing? What's he, the body, the blood? What do you think that they were, oh, great, yeah, let's have some. This is excellent. I know, because I'm just like them. I would be sitting there going, oh, I can't believe it. Did you see what Judas did? He's the one. Judas is the one. Did you see what he did? He's the one. And then there would be those who are going, we haven't done it like this before. I think maybe he doesn't know about what we're supposed to be doing. Don't be too quick, because we're going to do things differently this morning. But he passed them the elements and he said, here is my body, here is my blood, receive this. John tells us, to as many as received him, gave you the power to become the sons of God. There's so many points of receiving Christ. Have you received from him? Because receiving involves surrendering. Giving up, letting go. Some of you find it so hard to receive because you find it hard to surrender. God wants to be merciful to you, but you have to receive mercy. God wants to grant you hope, but you have to receive hope. God wants to be kind to you and bless you and give you something you do not deserve. And these disciples, they had such difficulty in this time with being alone with Jesus. I mean, they couldn't receive what he was telling them to receive. He was explaining the power behind the cross, and he was telling them about his body and his blood. And I know that if I had been one of them sitting at that table with him, I would have been wondering. I would have been worried. I would have been troubled. Moreover, what was I going to do as a follower of his if this all came to be? What's going to happen to me? That's how we act when it comes to God. God, what's in it for me? We come to God when we need him. We ignore him when we don't. And the disciples did this over and over and over again to him. And we do it too. Someone once said, and said it very well, most people want to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. God, I got to let you know what you got to do. because you didn't get it right. God, I thought things were going really good in my life, and then all of a sudden this happened. God, you must have got it wrong. Here's what you should do. God, it would be much easier if you would just look after this thing for me. God, I don't want to be stretched anymore. So stop that stretching stuff, because I already know you and I already believe in you and I've already received it from you. So I thought you were supposed to help me through this stuff. God says, yeah, but you've never trusted me every day. You haven't asked me to give you hope. You haven't asked me to give you mercy. You haven't received it. You haven't surrendered to it. You haven't surrendered to me. Matthew 7 says, for everyone who asks receives. Mark 11 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it. John 1 says, from the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. John 20, again, Jesus said, he said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive. We're good at claiming. We're not good at receiving. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Maybe you feel like you're a failure this morning. My Bible says we're to come to the throne of grace and receive mercy for our failures. Spend a lot of time in our life begging for things from God. And God says, I've already given them to you. I've already given them to you. All you have to do is receive them. Receive. It's such a big word. When I can't receive based on my ability to deserve it, I have to receive the free gift of God, the free grace of God, and I can't do anything but receive it. When you really know God, you really know how to receive Him. And you really know how to receive from Him. God's a giver. How many believe that? God's a lover. How many believe that? He wants to give to us. He wants to love us. He wants to do for us. And He did for us. But we must receive what He has done so that we know Him. There's a song that has had a deep impact for me over these past few weeks. And I mean, I've heard it over the years, and it's one of my favorite songs, but the deep meaning of these words really hit me as I received them in my heart. The song is called Above All. And the opening words of the chorus go like this: crucified, laid behind the stone. Now here's the second sentence. You lived to die, rejected and alone. At that point, my question was to myself, in my heart, Jesus, you came to die. You lived to die, rejected and alone. Why can't I just spend more time with you? Because you see, I think often we reject Him. See, I think we turn our back on Him. We're just like Judas, and we betray Him. And that song really opened up my world because it helped me understand even deeper how much God loves me. Jesus reclined at the table. When when he given thanks, he took the bread. And I hope I can break this. He broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of him. Then he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. 1 Corinthians adds, in remembrance of him. You can't remember him unless you receive from him. He came. He lived here to die. Rejected and alone. We're going to do things differently this morning. I'm going to invite you to come to his table and break off a piece of bread. And dip it into the cup. And partake and give thanks. But only when you've been alone with him for a while. So don't rush to the table. Spend time with him. Receive from him. And remember him. Let's pray. Father God, you lived to die, rejected even by your own disciples. Those who walked so close with you, those who sat with you, those who loved you, those who longed for you, those who learned from you, rejected you. Lord, forgive us when we reject you. And then you hung on the cross. You went through the tragedy, Lord, of trial, of lashings, of carrying the cross for us while being denied. You did it all alone. You did it so that we could see how much you love us, so that you could identify with us, so that you could give to us. May we receive from you today, God. May we remember what you've done for us. To you be the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.